Alexander Kestenbaum and Students Against Antisemitism, Inc., Plaintiffs, President and Fellows of Harvard College, Defendant, United States District Court, District of Massachusetts, Narrative Summary, produced by Cerebell Legal Intelligence. Preliminary Statement. Harvard University, nationally renowned, is allegedly rife with anti-Jewish harassment and hatred that escalated dramatically on October 7, 2023, when the Hamas onslaught on Israel sparked pro-Hamas student and faculty protests on campus. Anti-Semitic slogans, harassment, and violence, including the occupation of various university spaces for extended periods, grew rampant. Social media attacks on Jewish students increased, and biased faculty perpetuated this anti-Semitism openly. Harvard's administration failed systematically to prevent these activities or punish those involved. Harvard's biased practices, termed anti-Semitism cancer by a previous president, demonstrate a double standard harmful to Jewish students. The selective policy enforcement, employment of professors who support anti-Jewish sentiments, and dismissal of Jewish students' protection requests illustrate this bias. Students and faculty face no consequences for advocating violence against Jews or Israel's destruction. In contrast, students must undergo training against other discriminatory behaviors. Such bias practices come from the top level. Harvard's recent president testified that calls for Jewish genocide do not necessarily violate Harvard's policies, with the backing of the governing body. This lax attitude towards anti-Semitism prompted the resignation of the only rabbi on the university's anti-Semitism advisory group. The president only resigned a month later due to plagiarism allegations and public criticism. Organizations like SAA and individuals such as Kestenbaum have repeatedly expressed concerns to warn Harvard about its hostile environment towards Jewish students, which poses a risk to Jewish students. Harvard has been aware of its anti-Semitism issues, yet its neglect and promotion of this hateful mindset continues. Key incidents of negligence include tolerating the campus building's takeover by student mobs without disciplinary actions and enabling their anti-Semitic agenda. Harvard's failure to enforce its policies against anti-Semitism resulted in escalating anti-Jewish incidents on campus following the October 7 terrorist attack. Instead of condemning these actions, various students and faculty openly supported Hamas's October 7 massacre and blamed Jews for the violence inflicted upon them. Harvard's inaction toward escalating anti-Semitic harassment, citing free expression principles as an excuse, further illuminates its biased policy enforcement. The university's track record of rigorous enforcement against other forms of harassment starkly contrasts with its disregard for anti-Semitic acts. The prevailing anti-Semitism in the university has deprived Jewish students, including Kestenbaum and other SAA members, of their rights to participate fully in Harvard's programs, posing significant emotional and physical risks. Furthermore, a decline in Jewish enrollment over the past 10 years indicates an intentional effort to reduce the Jewish population, similar to historic practices of quota imposition. Harvard's apparent indifference and facilitation of anti-Semitism violates Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Institutional, broad-reaching, and tangible corrective procedures must be implemented, including necessary disciplinary measures against culpable parties, rejection and return of donations incorporated with anti-Semitic undertones, required anti-Semitism training for the university community, and appropriate compensation for lost or diminished educational opportunities. A. Title VI protects Jewish students against anti-Semitism. Title VI, protecting students against discrimination based on race, color, or national origin in federally funded programs, extends to prohibitions on anti-Semitism, with policy set by the Office of Civil Rights, OCR, of the U.S. Department of Education, DOE, since 2004. The DOE mandates federally funded institutions to address known anti-Semitic harassment, qualifying as a violation of Title VI when severity, pervasiveness, or persistence interfere with student participation, or when such harassment is tolerated, ignored, or inadequately addressed by school personnel. The Trump and Biden administrations saw anti-Semitism as an emerging issue, generating responses such as President Trump's Combating Anti-Semitism Executive Order 13899 in 2019 and the DOE's 2023 fact sheet on protecting students from discrimination based on shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. The IHRA's definition of antisemitism, with contemporary examples, was employed in enforcing both responses. Further actions followed, including President Biden's U.S. National Strategy to Counter Antisemitism in May 2023, DOE's Antisemitism Awareness Campaign, and the OCR's reminder to schools about their legal responsibilities under Title VI. The IRA's examples of contemporary antisemitism have proved instrumental. Additionally, antisemitism is linked to biases against Zionism, a movement centered on self-determination for Jewish people in Israel. Criticism against Israel, expecting standards not applied to other countries, is viewed as discriminatory and anti-Semitic. Martin Luther King Jr., Zionists with antisemitism. The complaints highlight cases of antisemitism prevalent in Harvard and other college campuses. The lawsuit also details the antisemitism propagated by Hamas, an extremist Islamist terrorist organization committed to the annihilation of Israel and Jews globally, designated a foreign terrorist organization by the U.S. State Department in 1997. Its indiscriminate terror attacks on Israeli civilians support the lawsuit's claim regarding the wave of antisemitism witnessed in educational institutions. B. Harvard fails to enforce its own policies to protect Jewish students. Harvard University has implemented multiple policies, including a non-discrimination and anti-bullying policy, university-wide statement on rights and responsibilities, free speech guidelines, student organization policies, and the contents of various student handbooks. However, it's alleged that Harvard fails to apply these policies consistently to protect Jewish students and deter antisemitism on campus, showing noticeable enforcement disparity when the alleged misconduct does not involve antisemitism. Harvard adopted a university-wide non-discrimination policy and an anti-bullying policy on September 1, 2023, addressing alleged harassment, discrimination, and bullying by any Harvard community member, both on and off campus. This policy prohibits discriminatory disparate treatment and discriminatory harassment based on race, color, nationality, ancestry, religion, or creed, among other protected aspects. Violations can result in actions ranging from warnings and suspensions to terminations of employment or student status. Yet, it is alleged that the application of these policies consistently falters when addressing issues relating to Jewish students. Harvard's university-wide statement on rights and responsibilities guarantees certain freedoms, such as freedom from personal force and violence, and freedom of movement. Any interferences with such freedoms, it asserts, are serious violations of personal rights. The free speech guidelines complement this, forbidding intensively personal harassment and unauthorized building occupations, amongst others. Further relevant rules are seen in individual school handbooks, such as those of Harvard Public Health and Harvard Law, which also mirror the university's central regulations. Both reiterate the non-discrimination policy and stipulate significant disciplinary sanctions in cases of violations. Student organization policies prohibit student groups from carrying out discriminatory activities based on protected aspects. They also restrict unrecognized student groups' activities under the university's name. Exceptionally, groups such as Harvard Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions, BDS, and Harvard Afro are alleged to have conducted anti-Semitic protests without facing any disciplinary consequences. The complaint highlights a seeming disregard on Harvard's part towards Jewish and Israeli students' alleged harassment in violation of institutional policies. C. Harvard's recent history of anti-Semitism and civil rights violations. Harvard University has exhibited tolerance towards anti-Semitism, dating back to the 1920s when it limited Jewish admissions. This tolerance has led to an increase in anti-Semitic incidents within the past decade, specifically since the October 7th missile attack by Hamas. A 2022 study by the AMCHE Initiative found Harvard to be the most anti-Semitic college in the United States. A senior thesis also reflected the prevalent anti-Semitism on campus, causing Jewish students to restrict themselves socially and academically to avoid harassment. Numerous incidents of anti-Semitism have been recounted, including undisciplined protests against Jewish activities by student groups like Harvard PSC and SJP, despite these actions being a direct violation of Harvard's policies. Both groups have a notorious history of promoting anti-Semitic views and organizing events that propagate anti-Jewish rhetoric. SJP's presence on campuses has been linked with increased anti-Semitic activity. Most universities have banned groups like SJP due to their harassment of Jewish students and support for Hamas. However, Harvard continues to tolerate their presence. There have been cases where individuals have directly harassed Jewish students with anti-Semitic stereotypes and have not faced disciplinary action. Anti-Semitic activities, like Israeli Apartheid Week, were organized where mock detention notices were handed to Jewish students. Invitations to controversial speakers were granted, who propagated anti-Semitism, further contributing to the hostile environment for Jewish students. Jewish students were subjected to hate speech and violence without proper intervention or action from the university. Multiple instances of vandalism against Jewish symbols remain penalized, reflecting the university's deliberate indifference towards its anti-Semitism problem. Also, in a course taught by Professor Marshall Gans, Jewish students were subjected to discrimination and prevented from expressing their Israeli identity, despite the university's own investigation confirming Gans's violations. Despite Harvard acknowledging the violations, there was negligence in taking immediate disciplinary action, exacerbating the university's hostile attitude towards Jewish students. Over the years, anti-Semitism in Harvard has coincided with the declining Jewish students' population, potentially indicating a possible effort by the school to mitigate its Jewish student population. Harvard's reluctance to stand against anti-Semitism has caused a worsened anti-Semitic atmosphere on campus. D. Harvard's deliberate indifference to anti-Semitism has continued. Despite intense Harvard University's response to a wave of anti-Jewish hostility post-Hamas's October 7th massacre has been critiqued as deliberately indifferent. Following the massacre where Hamas terrorists slaughtered and abducted over 1,400 individuals, marking the deadliest day for Jews since the Holocaust, Harvard's environment saw a surge in anti-Semitic behavior, praised by students and faculty. Harvard neglected to publicly condemn Hamas or support Jewish students, spurring public criticism, including from former President Summers. The university eventually addressed the incident in muted terms, failing to condemn the student groups vocally supporting Hamas. The Harvard community, including the Harvard Palestine Solidarity Groups, blamed Israel for the violence, a sentiment Harvard did not adequately rebuff. Instead, anti-Jewish activities, including disruptive protests and discriminatory campaigns, escalated, led by student groups like Harvard PSC, which faced no substantial disciplinary action. Even when students and faculty promoted or excused Hamas's atrocities, Harvard took minimal steps to confront campus anti-Semitism. Harvard's inaction continued despite poignant pleas from Jewish students and external criticism. Its inadequacy was highlighted through the handling of student-led disruptions targeting Jewish students and the faculty's discriminative behavior. Professors canceled classes to support anti-Israel protests, and prominent faculty promoted views undermining Jewish suffering, with no disciplinary follow-up from Harvard. President Gay's December 5th testimony to the House anti-Semitism hearing, where she hesitated to categorically denounce calls for Jewish genocide as a violation of Harvard's policies and admitted the university accepted funds from controversial sources, intensified the scrutiny on Harvard's indifference towards campus anti-Semitism. Public backlash and resignations from the anti-Semitism advisory group ensued, with experts criticizing Harvard's deep-rooted issues and reluctance to implement meaningful changes. Despite initial backing, President Gay resigned on January 2, 2024, following separate plagiarism accusations. Throughout these events, Jewish students endured an increasingly hostile educational environment, exacerbated by Harvard's apparent tolerance for anti-Semitism. E. Harvard's double standard towards addressing anti-Semitism. Harvard University's indifference towards anti-Semitism, in contrast to its active stand against other bias-related incidents, demonstrates a discriminatory double standard. This has exacerbated the harassment endured by Jewish students, including Kestenbaum and members of the SAA. Harvard has dismissed anti-Jewish harassment in the name of free expression, despite responding decisively to bias against non-Jewish representatives. Harvard selectively applies free expression principles while taking swift action against discrimination targeted at non-Jewish groups. In practice, the university ignores anti-Semitic harassment while promptly addressing other perceived forms of bigotry like sizism, fatphobia, racism, transphobia, etc. The university has censored controversial speakers and discussions, but made exceptions for anti-Semitic views, citing free expression. Harvard swiftly addresses incidents affecting other minorities without the act of actual harassment or violence. It has issued condemnations such as retiring its shield that displayed a slaveholder's family crest and changing a potentially offensive title. On the contrary, anti-Semitic incidents are ignored, falsely setting up freedom of expression as a reason to endure anti-Semitism. Inclusive efforts advanced by Harvard exclude Jewish students. Despite international conflicts and societal issues that demand the university's attention, the plight of Jewish students remains ignored. Any biases committed against other minority groups are robustly addressed, indicating a double standard in practice. Harvard disciplines faculty members who appear to endorse discrimination against groups other than Jews. In contrast, complaints against faculty members related to anti-Semitic harassment are ignored. No actions are taken against faculty members endorsing or exhibiting anti-Semitic behavior, even after receiving numerous anonymous reports. Similarly, students violating policies resulting in discrimination receive consequences, unless the incidents are related to anti-Semitism. Discrimination against any group other than Jews is met with severe punishment, illustrating a double standard in Harvard's policy implementation. Regardless of any violence committed against Jewish students, the university neglects to enforce any meaningful disciplinary action. F plaintiffs are being denied equal access to Harvard's educational opportunities. Kestenbaum, SAA's Jewish students, and other Jewish learners at Harvard feel alienated and treated as secondary citizens because Harvard to them refuses to address discrimination and harassment leveled against Jewish students. This posture negatively affects Jewish students, denying them physical protection, emotional support, a sense of inclusion, full engagement in academic and extracurricular activities, and the freedom to openly express their Jewish identity and their support for Israel. As a result, Kestenbaum and SAA's Jewish students are treated unequally and feel inferior to non-Jewish students. Harassment and hostility from fellow students and faculty members are unimpeded, consequently creating feelings of insecurity and avoidance of certain campus areas. Their colleagues are allowed to praise extremist groups like Hamas, celebrate violent acts against Israeli citizens, express anti-Semitic sentiments, and call for the destruction of Israel. Adding to this, Kestenbaum and SAA's Jewish learners feel threatened due to harassment and bias from professors and peers, which disrupts their ability to optimally focus on and perform their coursework. They fear public spaces like libraries, refrain from participating in Jewish activities, and face rejection from classmates and faculty because of their Jewish identity. This hostile environment and Harvard's indifference has compromised their capacity to fully utilize their Harvard education. Harvard's refusal to combat anti-Semitism also affects Jewish students' engagement in non-academic activities. They wear symbols of Jewish identity, but these have made them targets for anti-Semitic harassment and violence from students and faculty. The anti-Semitism and the perceived failure on part of the administration have made these students feel shunned and isolated, causing them to miss classes, thwarting class participation, increasing their fear for safety, and inhibiting their ability to focus on school. Harvard's alleged actions and inaction have deprived Kestenbaum and SAA's Jewish learners of their right to equal educational and social opportunities, negatively impacting their academic results, mental well-being, sense of security, and personal growth. Count plaintiffs incorporate previous allegations and claim Harvard, receiving financial aid from the U.S. Department of Education, falls under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on Jewish or Israeli ancestry, race, ethnic characteristics, or national origin. Kestenbaum, identified as Jewish, and similarly identified SAA Jewish student members at Harvard, are within Title VI protection. Harvard's actions have allegedly created a hostile environment for these Jewish students, denying them equal educational access. It's claimed Harvard knew about this discrimination and harassment, which was severe, pervasive, and offensive, yet displayed deliberate indifference and failed to effectively stop or remedy the situation, violating Title VI. The plaintiffs argue that Harvard and its administrators not only knew about the anti-Semitism, but also actively engaged in discrimination and neglected their duty of sufficiently addressing, ameliorating, or preventing it. Allegedly, Harvard treats incidents of anti-Semitism or those involving Jewish or Israeli students less seriously and with unjustifiable delay compared to other students, a discriminatory practice that has caused substantial harm, warranting trial to determine damages. The complaint asserts that Harvard's violations directly caused injury to Kestenbaum and other Jewish students at Harvard, depriving them of equal access to educational benefits and intentionally discriminating against them on the basis of their Jewish heritage, which is set to continue. Concluding claims are for injunctive relief to halt Harvard's alleged ongoing violation of Title VI and prevent irreparable harm to Jewish students facing a hostile environment. Additionally, the plaintiffs seek attorney's fees and costs as per 42 U.S.C. Count 2. Plaintiffs state that an express contract was formed between Harvard and plaintiffs Kestenbaum and the SAA's Jewish Harvard student members through their enrollment at Harvard and the university's written policies, such as non-discrimination policy, statement on rights and responsibilities, and free speech guidelines, with expectations of a safe and discrimination-free environment as part of the contractual agreement. Plaintiffs have fulfilled their contractual obligations, including payment of tuition. However, they contend that Harvard has repeatedly violated the contract by failing to protect them from discriminatory abuse, harassment, and intimidation as promised, resulting in plaintiffs suffering ongoing substantial damages, for which amounts will be determined at trial. Count 3. The plaintiffs, including Kestenbaum and the Jewish members of the SAA at Harvard, assert that Harvard University has violated the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing inherent in its contracts with students. They claim that the university has exhibited discriminatory practices by inconsistently applying and enforcing policies and regulations outlined in its student handbooks, guidelines, procedures, and other official documents. The complaint suggests that Harvard has responded to incidents of mistreatment directed at Jewish students with undue leniency and indifference compared to its handling of similar situations affecting other minority groups. This alleged bias is rooted in factors such as shared ancestry, race, ethnic characteristics, or national origin. Due to these breaches of good faith, Kestenbaum and the implicated Jewish students have purportedly suffered ongoing and substantial damages, the specific amounts of which are to be ascertained at trial. Prayer for relief. The plaintiffs seek a judgment against Harvard, requesting various forms of relief for alleged Title VI violations. They ask for an injunction to prevent Harvard from discriminating against Jewish students, including disciplinary actions against deans, administrators, professors, employees, and students who participate in or allow anti-Semitic discrimination. This includes terminating or suspending those responsible, declining and returning donations conditioned on promoting anti-Semitism, and implementing mandatory anti-Semitism training. Additionally, they seek compensatory, consequential, and punitive damages, the amount of which will be determined at trial. The plaintiffs also request the coverage of reasonable attorney fees, lawsuit costs, and expenses, as well as pre-judgment and post-judgment interest at the maximum legal rate. Lastly, they ask for any other relief that the court finds just and appropriate. This audio summary produced and sponsored by Ceribell Legal Intelligence. Amplify your legal genius with Ceribell's generative AI case file summarization and analysis services at C-E-R-E-E-E-L.